Dean is on assignment. Cindy Perlman, who writes for the Las Vegas Journal Review, among other publications, and she is a best-selling author. Cindy, you have some Las Vegas U2 news to start us off with this morning, don't you?
Good morning, Bob. U2, back in Vegas, sorta, kinda. It's actually their concert film, which is at the Sphere, called V-U2, an immersive concert film. And boy, it's really amazing. You feel like the band is right there in front of you, although it's just a movie.
Yeah, this Sphere, I mean, sounds like an incredible place to begin with. What are they charging to get in there?
Well, you know, it's just your average movie that might cost you from $100 to $180 for a 75-minute movie. Mm. But the good part is you're watching it on a screen that's literally 4 acres big. Everyone has a 270-degree view. The movie was directed by The Edge and his wife, filmed with cameras called Big Sky cameras, which are specifically invented for the Sphere. It's the only camera in the world that has 18K or 120 frames per second. And one of the cool things, too, is you can feel it. It's a special seating where you feel vibrations in your seat. So you feel every drum of the drum, and you feel Bono's voice vibrating.
Mm.
And the other super cool thing is there's 167 speakers in the theater. So it's laser beams instead of sound waves that they use.
Wow.
And every seat has 8 speakers pointed at them. So it really is, visually, you feel it. It's a really interesting experience.
So this is a movie for the Sphere, and you're not going to be seeing this anywhere else, are you?
Nope. Specifically based on their performances at the Sphere earlier this year, and it's their concert film, and I don't think you're going to see it anywhere else. One of the highlights is their Vegas song, Atomic City. Anyone can stream that. Kind of a cool song. But the visual for that, which was similar to their show, it starts off on the Vegas Strip all around them. The Strip sort of melts away, and it goes back to being desert again. You can't even describe it. It's just a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
A reason to go to Las Vegas, for sure. Sting is on the road. And what's the Sting news this fall, Cindy?
Yeah, it's good to be Sting these days. He's got a lot going on. The former Police frontman, he's on tour himself with a gig that begins in Detroit September 17th. He's also opening for Billy Joel in many cities this fall, too. And he just released his first new song since 2021 called I Wrote Your Name Upon My Heart. It's a blues song inspired by Bo Diddley's 1955 single, Bo Diddley Beat. And you have Sting singing, playing bass, guitar, and it's part of a thing he's calling his new trio called Sting 3.0.
Hmm. Sting in Chicago, Auditorium Theater, that will be October the 28th. Now, as for what's new in the streaming department, a lot of us who were big fans of Dexter, looking forward to Dexter Original Sin. Tell us about this project.
Yeah, this is cool. If you were a Dexter fan, there's a prequel to Dexter that's coming out, and it's going to be told through flashbacks, and it's going to be about the life of the young Dexter, called Dexter Original Sin, on Paramount Plus, and it will follow a young Dexter as he begins a forensics internship at the Miami Metro-Dade Police Department. So here is Dexter as a cop, really. And Michael C. Hall, the original Dexter, is going to narrate, but the young Dexter will be played by a different actor. And the prequel, which debuts this December, 10 episodes of a young Dexter trying to control his killer urges.
Hmm.
And, you know, there's something about a nurse poisoning his adoptive father, Harry. He gets a little upset about that. She's his first target. He begins the kill room. If you know Dexter, he has a kill room. And some of the great guest stars of this are Patrick Gibson playing the young Dexter, Christian Slater, who's always good, is the young version of his father. Patrick Dempsey's along for the ride, and so is Buffy herself, Sarah Michelle Gellar. So great cast on this.
Can't wait. December for the Dexter prequel. Now, this name, Lacey Chabert, is it? People may not know the name, but she is the queen of Hallmark, isn't she?
Bob, I have a confession. I actually do watch Hallmark sometimes. I know I have to come clean about this. So it was sort of exciting to interview Lacey Chabert last week. She's on the thing, Hallmark has a new streaming service starting this week called H+. That's so you don't even have to feel like you're geeking out here. You're just watching H+. It's got a kind of hip name. And she has her own reality show. But, you know, it's still Hallmark. It's about her throwing parties, doing do-it-yourself stuff, you know, having little celebrations. She said it's, you know, really about crediting real-life people, celebrating heroes and throwing parties for them, which sounds really nice. But the funny thing is, remember, she was the star of Mean Girls with Lindsay Lohan a bunch of years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was one of the Mean Girls, Gretchen. So she says even now she's a mom, she's in her 40s. She went to Walgreens the other day to pick up a prescription. And the pharmacist said, "Wow, Lacey, you don't look very fetch today." Remember the Mean Girls lingo of being fetch or not fetch? Fetch. I barely remember this, but it's there.
Yeah, I'll try to use that word later today and impress people. James Earl Jones, I mean, you know, going through the tributes, it's very interesting. One thing especially, he didn't always plan to act, did he?
He really didn't. Very sad with his passing yesterday. But he had a really bad stutter as a kid growing up in Mississippi, being raised by his grandparents. And he not only didn't speak, he was spent many years very silent. And it was a teacher, one teacher, who called him and said, "You know, you write such beautiful poetry. Can we work on saying it to the class?" And he started speaking, which led to still not acting. He went into the military, did a bunch of other things, was going to be pre-med, and then found his way to becoming an actor, worked as a janitor to pay the bills. So it was a big climb, but what a great actor from Field of Dreams, Coming to America, Hunt for Red October, and, of course, the voice of Darth Vader in Lion King's Mufasa.
Star Wars didn't pay him a lot, though, did it?
$7,000 to be the voice of Darth Vader back in 1977, a role that began an odyssey of every single person in his life begging him to do their answering machine message because, you know, you're Darth Vader. But, you know, he did so many of those films. It was so iconic. And yesterday, one of the saddest but beautiful tributes to him was actually Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, came out and said in his Instagram just two words, "R.I.P. Dad," because Darth Vader being his father. So right, that was a beautiful tribute.
Yeah, that's sweet. Cindy Perlman in Las Vegas. Thanks, Cindy. You have a good one.
Thanks, Bob.
The late night hosts did jokes about the world's first trillionaire betting on the debate and the mayor of Flavortown last night. Here are some highlights courtesy of Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Stephen Colbert.
You know, I know we do a comedy show here and you know, all that, and it's fun, but sometimes it's time to get serious. Here at The Late Show, we focus on only the major stories, and I rarely deign to dip my toes into the frivolous churn of celebrity falderal. However, I just became aware of an incident that, frankly, cannot be ignored, and that's that while hanging at Sylvester Stallone's house, Guy Fieri was mistaken for a bartender and was told to get back to work. Come on! Come on! I thought this was America! A bartender? A bartender? Madam, may I remind you, this isn't just any municipal worker of Flavortown. You're talking to the damn mayor. This guy is the magnate of a restaurant empire stretching all the way from the Cancun airport to the Bogota, Colombia airport. Madam, you do that again. You do that one more time, he could legally put you under flavor arrest. You know what that means? They're going to lock you in a basement to get flavor boarded with donkey sauce.
You can bet on all sorts of things for this debate. Like the Super Bowl, they're called prop bets. You can bet on the color of Trump's tie. Red is the favorite. If you bet $1,200 on red, you can win $100. Blue, you can bet $100 to win $550. Silver or gray goes off at 14-1. And if he wears a bow tie, you can win 100-1. You know he's going to bet all his Truth Social stock on bow tie and show up looking like an obese Orville Redenbacher, right? You can also bet on whether Trump will say the words Comrade Kamala, Tampon Tim, Witch Hunt, and also you can bet on whether or not they will shake hands. No is the heavy favorite. I would go heavy on no, Because those two are not going to shake hands. If I was Kamala, you know what I'd do? I'd give him a little pinch on the cheek when I came out. Trump, of course, is claiming that the debate is rigged against him, even though it hasn't happened yet. Over the weekend, he announced that no boxes or artificial lifts will be allowed for Kamala, who is 5'4", to stand on, because he says it would be a form of cheating, and the Democrats cheat enough. That's right. You know, cheating is only allowed when it comes to wives, taxes, and every round of golf that he's ever played.
Well, switching gears, according to a new report, Elon Musk is on pace to become the world's first trillionaire by 2027. People are worried that once he becomes a trillionaire, he might get weird. Some business news. I saw that Red Lobster is exiting bankruptcy and will operate their restaurants. Oh. Yeah. I don't want to say how they're saving money, but it's not good that the lobster is now in quotations. Guys, get this. Cantaloupes sold in multiple states have been recalled due to potential salmonella contamination. The CDC said, you know that part of the fruit salad you always throw away? Keep doing that.
Lobster in quotations. I like that. One more thing about James Earl Jones. He always sounded very serious, but famously, he had a great sense of humor. Here he is on The Late Show with David Letterman back in 2001 doing a top 10 list.
Top 10 things that sound cool when spoken by James Earl Jones. Oh, the famous actor, a fine actor, a lovely man. Here we go, number 10.
I can't believe it's not butter.
No. Number 9.
Objects in mirror may be closer than they appear.
Number 8.
J-Lo in the house.
J-Lo in the house.
Yeah, that's not a cool.
Number 7.
Click here now for the hottest sites on the web.
Number 6.
And the Academy Award for Best Picture goes to... Dude, where's my car?
I like that. Number 5.
You're not fully clean until you're zestfully clean.
All right, fine. Number 4.
You mean I get all these great funk classics on just one CD or cassette?
Yeah. Number 3.
Number 3.
Well, now, wait a minute. That makes no sense at all. The number 2 cool thing when spoken by James Earl Jones.
Meow, 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 meow.
And the number 1 thing that sounds cool when spoken by James Earl Jones.
Huzzah!
That is classic. I'll tell you, though, his Field of Dreams speech, whenever I hear, they will come, Ray, they will come, that one still gives me goosebumps.